This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Good afternoon. This is Pastor Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome you and greet all you listeners wherever you may be. If you're out of your car listening on the radio, maybe you're at home listening to it, or maybe you're on a computer somewhere, we just welcome you and greet you to this program as we're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1 in the afternoon. And Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart, Florida. We have it's going on, wow, 24, almost 24 and a half years now, Pastor Donna. And so we're honored to be here with you. And we've been doing this for a lot of years. So 19 plus, won't be long, it'll be 20 years we've been on the radio. So many of you have been with us for many, many years, and we thank you for listening. And it's good to hear from you from time to time. So if you got something you'd like to share, or just say hello or call and encourage us, we'll be glad to talk with you. And we can all use some encouragement, can't we, Pastor Don?
Amen.
So we thank you for that. So praise the Lord. So I hope you get something out of this today. And if you apply your heart to the things that God wants you to hear and to know, and ask Him to give you a prophetic mind with some of the things we're going to talk about, I believe you're going to be blessed, and not because of Don and I, but because of the Holy Ghost and what He's going to do in your life. And so, hallelujah. So, Don and I co-pastor this church, I mentioned, for all these years, and God gave us the name way back, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, right out of Revelation 19:10. So here we are. I think I counted that a moment ago. So are we on the 17th day of counting the omer? We're getting close to that. So hallelujah. We're going to read this in the scriptures, then we can go from that and you can see exactly where we're at on the Jewish calendar. See, we're all, the Jews are on the biblical calendar, which is the Jewish calendar also, is a solar calendar. I mean, not a solar calendar, I should say, but a lunar calendar. So everything based on the moon and not on the sun. God didn't want them to worship the sun god. So,
and we're in a new month
now,
too.
And we're in a new month, too. That's right.
Because we just had a new moon.
Got a new moon. We saw a sliver of it out here the other night, didn't we? Mm-hmm. So we're honored to be here with you. So we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. If you got a question, don't hesitate to call. Don will give you the phone number if you'd like to call. If you'd like to order a tape or a CD, what we're going to talk about. I haven't mentioned this for a while. I wrote a book called God's Prophetic Calendar, and it's called also The Pictures of the Messiah Revealed in the Festivals of the Lord. And they're all there. And so if you look at all, there's really 8 counting the Sabbath. But if we look at those things, we'll see that they had a point that God was bringing attention to the people at that time in a historical event. Something did happen. But also, it was also prophetically to show what was going to happen in the future with Yeshua. Those 7 times all point to who, Donna? To Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. That's what it's all about. So we have to have a prophetic mind. And don't just think it's something that, you know, some story. This is not a story. These are all events that happened, aren't they, Pastor Don? So we're going to release ourselves to you and ask the Lord to give you ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to you, and only to you. But Don and I probably get something while we're doing this.
Amen.
Too.
Amen. We always do, because so, we're reading God's Word.
We're reading God's Word. It's a lively word. Hallelujah.
And we're reading now the King James Bible. If you'd like to follow along with us, if you're in a car, you know, you can always, like Pastor Gene said, you can listen to this again. And we're on the internet as well, WCNO.com, so you can go back and listen to the program again.
That's right.
That would be WCNO.com. It's on 24/7. So just go and look for Raising the Standard on Saturday at 12 noon. I want to mention also we have services here in Stuart, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night service at 7 p.m. And then we meet together on Sunday as well at 10 a.m. We will not have anything this Saturday. So we will be Sunday morning at 10 a.m. if you'd like to come and visit us.
Saturday, yeah.
Our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's 285-7007. And we're in Stuart, Florida. And we want to say hello to all you out there in Radio Land, I guess you call it, and say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island as they are building the temple of God.
Hallelujah.
And things are progressing daily and weekly, and we just thank the Lord for them and for the temple of God on Andros Island.
Yes.
Amen.
So we're here again on another Saturday afternoon, huh? And the weeks just seem to fly by. Here we are, we're in May. We're going to be in May here in a couple of days. It's hard to believe. You know, here we got 4 months of this year gone already. So with a lot of things going on with our government and the political arena and the world, that we're hooked in with the Word of God, aren't we, Pastor Donald?
We better stay hooked in with the Word of God.
We better stay hooked in and don't listen to everybody else, all the naysayers and all the rest of the stuff that's going on. We just stay with His Word.
Because as we follow Him and we do what's right, you know, we're bound to be blessed, and
that's right. We have to pray. He's going
to
take care of us.
It's important that we pray. I want to mention also, you know, it's important that we pray. You should get with somebody who's praying and pray for there's a lot of things to pray about, but we need to pray for our country, our nation, our president, and you know, that godly things would happen and that things would be, he's trying to do things right and make things right, you know, and make right decisions. And,
that's right.
So we need to
righteous
pray.
Righteous decisions.
We need to pray, yeah, that's right, that he would make righteous decisions and that this nation would continue to be blessed and
Hallelujah.
To be a blessing to others as well.
That's
so we need to pray. We pray every Thursday. At the Alliance Church, in case anyone likes to pray, we pray over there at the Alliance Church every Thursday at
12.
Just give us a call. We'll tell you about it.
Yeah, where it's at and what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Right. So we're over here in the book of Leviticus where it talks about the different seven appointed times. Mm-hmm. And we just finished one of them, which was Passover.
Right.
And so the next one, now we're in the process of counting the Omer.
Mm-hmm.
And what is an Omer? It's a
measure of grain.
Right, and so it's what? Counting the Omer up until the next, till 50 days, right?
They're going to gather enough grain, all right, to fulfill and be the early wheat harvest, to have enough to do the, as we read in Leviticus chapter 23, to make those loaves of bread with leaven and all that, to wave those before the Lord. So
that would be on Pentecost.
That'll be on Pentecost.
Shavuot,
that's
our
right.
People call it.
So here we are. We're already into a few days into this time of counting it, but I thought we might look at it here. We're going to talk about this time because I thought about it this morning. You know, we have three appointed times. It's interesting that all the males had to be in Jerusalem, honey. All three of them. Three.
Mm-hmm.
Passover, Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. And if we look at it real close, all three of those appointed times are harvest festivals. So what do they have to do? The priesthood had to go out, and they'd have a field. And they'd pull out not just maybe one little sheep, but maybe a bunch of sheaves, like we just went through Passover, of barley. And they brought it to the temple. And what did they do? The priest waved it before the Lord. And then he told the people, once they were done with that, to go out and then harvest the field. Well, the field is always a picture of the world. So I think about these harvest festivals. There's three of them. I think they're a picture, a pattern showing us about the resurrection, the catching away. There's going to be a token group that's going to come out, all right? And then when God's done with all of us and the church is caught off the earth and all that in the resurrection and catching away, well, then what? The time's going to come. We're going to have Jacob's trouble. And then the world's going to have to be harvested. So this is what these things all point to. So God has three reminders in the Bible to remind us of these harvest festivals. And so I thought we might take a look at this for a moment. I'm in Leviticus chapter 23, if you're at home, where you can look into this and with us. I'm going to start in verse 9, and we're going to go down where we get to begin to talk about the counting of the Omer. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you be come into the land, which I gave unto you, and shall reap," here we go, "reap the harvest thereof, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest." This is the first fruits of the earth here it's talking about. So they would go out and pull up a sheaf. It might have tons and tons of barley kernels on it, that the seeds and all. And we think about it, those were all planted in the ground, and more barley would come out. That's a picture of the kingdom of God as it grows.
Amen.
And so that's what it's about. Who knows how many one big sheaf of barley would produce in the way of grain if it was all put in the ground at the same time. So they did this. They would bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest unto the priest. And then verse 11 says, and you shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath. What's the morrow after the Sabbath? What is that? First day of the week. He's referring to here, you know, this is going to be Nisan 17 on the Jewish calendar. The priest shall wave it. Now verse 12, and you shall offer that day when you wave the sheaf a he lamb without blemish. That's a pattern of Yeshua of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. Hallelujah. We read it over in Exodus chapter 12 about a lamb of the first year. Now verse 13, and the meat offering. What is it? Does that mean physical meat like we talk about, you know, beef?
No.
Or anything? No? No, it's grain.
Grain.
Grain. A meat offering, therefore, or thereof, I should say, a meat offering, therefore, shall be 2/10 deals of fine flour mingled with oil and an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Now this is interesting. For a sweet savor. When we come,
amen.
Think about all those kernels. Take a picture of people coming in the kingdom of God. When we come, we are a sweet savor to the Lord, aren't we? And the drink offering thereof shall be of wine, the fourth part of a hin. And you shall eat neither bread, nor parched corn, nor green ears, until the selfsame day that you have brought an offering unto your God. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all your dwellings. So they had to bring out that first group. That first fruit came out. And then when it was accepted, they knew it was ripe. Well, then they were allowed to turn and go out and to harvest their fields, which is a picture of the world being harvested for the Messiah, Yeshua. Now, we're going to go to verse 15 now. And ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath. That would be what? On Nisan 17, morrow after the Sabbath. From the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. So 7 times 7 would be what? 49 days, even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath. So that's when they start counting the Omer. Shall you number 50 days, and you shall offer a new meat offering or grain offering unto the Lord. And you shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Now this is an interesting verse thinking about it. They're going to have 2 wave loaves, Pastor Donna.
Right.
And it's going to have leaven in it, so when they bake it, it's going to swell like bread does, okay?
Right.
So we have 2 loaves, and here, it's interesting that God allowed them to have leaven in this. Well, we think about this. All of us have some kind of leaven in us, don't we? We've all sinned, we've all missed the mark, but we have Yeshua, and he wipes all that away. But we still know
thank
that
we
need him more than anything else. So there was 2 wave loaves, and I personally believe.
There's still a lot of leaven in the world.
That's right.
For sure.
Great amount. So I've always thought and believe these 2 loaves represents not only the Jewish people, but also all the Gentiles in the world also. So I believe that's why there's 2 loaves here, because God wants all to come. All to come. Verse 18. Well, let's read it. 17 again. Ye shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 deals. They shall be a fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. See that? There's sin in all this we're talking about. They are the first fruits unto the Lord. Wouldn't it be nice if we could be completely sinless? Well, we can't totally be until we get caught off this earth and are in the presence of the Lord in the kingdom. But, hallelujah, in his eyes, we are. We have what? Because we are perfect in his eyes when we come. And so what we have to do, we want to walk with him as close as we can, obey his commandments and statutes and all those instructions he has in the Torah,
mm-hmm.
that we might be more like him. That's the purpose. We want to be like Yeshua. And as we do, well, then we'll have a greater walk with him, and we'll fall in love with him more, and more will be accomplished in our life and the things around us that we're doing on behalf of the Lord everywhere we go. And so we have to keep that in mind. But we know a little leaven leavens the whole bunch. So our desires, we don't want to have any leaven. That's what we think about right after the first fruits. Now we come to unleavened bread, those 7 days. Well, that's a pattern of Yeshua on this earth and all. And he was the sinless man. He never failed one time. Not one time did he fail. So that's what that's all about. It's interesting. It lasts for 7 days. God's got whole plan for his purpose on this earth with humankind, that he's going to have a 7,000-year program from the time of Adam until the very end, be a period of 7,000 years to restore what? Mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden before the fall. That's the key thing, before the fall. And so the Lord's going to do that with all of us that come to him. So he's the one, he's our protection. We got his blood on our doorpost and our lintel, don't we, Pastor Jeff? His blood covers us, and so we stay under that blood with him. We walk with him, love him, obey his word, and we're going to be blessed in our coming in, going out, and everything that we do. So we have to keep that in mind. So these are all talking about first fruits. First fruits. So the people had to do that, to bring out the first fruits and to have it weighed before the Lord. And then they went on and they harvested the rest of their field. And one interesting thing we'll read here when we get down here in a moment. We'll wait till I get down here and I'll share that with you too. Now verse 18 says this, "And ye shall offer with the bread 7 lambs," and here's God's perfect number, "without blemish of the first year." Here's this first year, reminding me of Exodus chapter 12 about the pattern of Yeshua and all. "And 1 young bullock and 2 rams," you notice this, not one, but two, "they shall be for a burnt offering unto the Lord with their meat offering," it means their grain offering, and their drink offerings, "even an offering made by fire of sweet savor unto the Lord."
Mm-hmm.
So this is pretty powerful when you think about it. They shall be for what? A burnt offering. A burnt offering was a free will offering that was given. The Jewish people could do that any time at all back in Jesus' day to show their devotion and love to God. They could come in with a free will offering. Jesus was a free will offering when he died on that cross. That was a burnt offering because he was on from 9 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. He covered both of the offerings that was offered on that particular day. And they did that every single day. Hallelujah. So we covered that. And so when we come to Yeshua, then we're a sweet savor unto the Lord. We have a fragrance in his eyes. Hallelujah. Verse 19, "Then ye shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats for a sin offering." See, this is for sin. "And 2 lambs of the first year," that's first year again, "for a sacrifice of peace offerings," to bring oneness with us, back with God. That's what they had to do in that day. That brought the peace between them and the Father. Verse 20, "And the priest shall wave them with the bread of the first fruits." Here's this fruit, they have the first fruits, made these 2 loaves, "for a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation." This means a moedim, an appointed time unto you. "You shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations." Now we talked last week about the 7 high Sabbaths that they have on their calendar besides the weekly Sabbath. Well, this right here is going to be one of the high Sabbaths. Is going to be what? It's going to work Pentecost when we came to this point. And so he's showing us it's going to be a holy convocation unto you. You shall do no work, neither therein. It shall be a statute forever in your dwellings throughout your generation. Now, verse 22 was interesting. We talked about they went out and harvested their fields, but they left the corners unharvested. Look what it says here. "And when you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not make clean riddance of the corners of thy field when thou reapest, neither shalt thou gather any gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them unto the poor," to leave something for the stranger and the poor.
And the stranger.
"And to the stranger, I am the Lord your God." Isn't that incredible?
Of a stranger that went into a field and she did this exactly what you're talking about. It's in the Bible.
Talking about Ruth and Boaz, right?
Yes.
That's right.
What an awesome story. So, and she was in there and she did exactly what you just read.
That's right.
Was sent to that field and
she gleaned the corners.
She gleaned the corners and she was blessed. She was told to even go ahead and glean other places.
That's right.
And to stay at that place, because that was a place that a relative and God had a plan for her life, and God fulfilled that plan. Why? Because she was obedient.
That's right.
She could have said, "Oh, I'll go across the street and glean that field." No. She stayed exactly where she was supposed to stay and in the right time.
So in God's eyes,
God,
whether she was a
her.
Gentile or a Jew, he accepted her because of her heart.
And she was a Gentile, but
that's right.
She chose to be a Jew. She chose
joined.
To be,
that's
to
she
be,
came
be
with
joined.
Naomi. Yeah.
She chose to be joined to Naomi and receive the blessings. And of course, as we follow her
bleeding,
bloodline down through the time, you know, it leads us right up to
the Messiah.
The Messiah. So God has a plan. We don't always know the plan that God has for us, but if we're obedient, and which is a key thing, and we're faithful to what God has called us to do, then and to be, you know, to fulfill, then you know what, we will find out eventually, and then we will see, you know, because of our obedience, because of our faithfulness. God always is faithful, and He always wants to prosper us. And, you know, prosper doesn't just mean financially. She was prospered in many, many ways.
Absolutely.
Her life was, and also her mother-in-law was prospered, and, you know, and they received everything. Naomi received everything back.
That's right.
That was hers. She received her inheritance in the time of her life. You know, some people don't receive it. Israel's not going to receive its inheritance. It's been waiting for it all these years. You know, it's coming to pass. But as they're obedient, they're going to receive all the promises that God gave Abraham about the land.
That's right.
Because the land is important. And so God looks at land, you know, because, you know, the harvest comes out of the land. The barley comes out of the land. The wheat comes out of the land. Not just Israel. What about the places and other places in the world? What about places that have been dry and cracked and parched ground and there's no blessing? Well, I believe that, you know, as people are obedient, then, you know, God will cause the rain to come and He'll cause, you know, crops to grow.
Israel was like that for hundreds and hundreds of years, weren't they?
That's
until
right.
They became a nation.
And God's not a respecter of persons. You know, I don't believe so. Even places in where there's been, you know, deserts, well, now all of a sudden it may become a plush land, you know, because look at all the things that are growing in Israel now.
That's right.
I mean, they have harvest. They have harvest for barley.
They're shipping a lot of that around the world too.
Yeah. Wheat harvest, and they have, yeah, you know, grape harvest and figs and olives. They have all of these different
grapes
and all these wonderful things that they harvest.
Showing God's blessing, yeah.
But you know, you can't harvest if you're going to have dry and parched ground.
So I thought about what you're talking about, Ruth. You know, the true person that should have taken her in, because she was a relative of Naomi through marriage, the man that should have taken her and married her refused to do it because he didn't want to give any of his inheritance to a Gentile. But Boaz was not that way. And you know, I thought about Ruth's name. You know what her name means in the Hebrew? It means something to be desired. You know? So she was something to be desired because God saw her heart.
God saw her heart.
That's right. And so she gleaned all that and took some of it home for Naomi and all that.
And God saw Naomi's heart too, because
sure.
Naomi, you know, she was in a foreign land. Her husband had died, her two sons had died,
yeah.
And all she was just her and her two daughter-in-laws. And of course, she was willing to release them and tell them to go back to their own home and, you know, just go find somebody else, get married again, because I don't have any more sons, you know.
That's right.
But the one daughter-in-law, she said, "No, I'm going to stay with you."
That's right.
She made a choice. The other one went her way, but the one made a choice. Do it. But Naomi, she could have just given up in that land and said, well, you know, but no, she was drawn back to come back, to go back home, to go back to her land. So, you know, she went back to her land, not knowing if she was going to receive, not knowing what was going to happen.
That's right.
She just went back to the land.
Yeah.
You know, when you get in the right land, it's like almost standing in the right place. When you're in the right place with God, you know, then you know, God, I think it's like that. You almost bring on the commanded blessing.
That's right.
When you are in the right place, and to
that's
me,
right.
if you're you know, in the right land, or even if you're a person that's following Yeshua, if you're standing in the right place, if you're in the right place where God wants you to be, then the blessings,
and especially
the
blessings at the right time,
will come.
Too, yeah.
Will come.
Yeah.
That's right. The timing is important too.
Yeah.
God's time is important, and as we look at these feasts, you know, they people go out and they look for the ripe harvest. They look for the first. Of the barley, they call it Aviv. That means when it's coming into maturity, because you know it doesn't all come into maturity at one time.
That's right.
No, it's over a matter of a few weeks. So they have to gather this barley up. But then the same with the wheat. You know,
right.
It comes. Everything has a certain timing when it comes, and it doesn't all come at the same time. And it's a process. And I think it's almost like our life. It's a process. It's a process of timing and being in the right place and being patient. Oh my gosh, you got to be patient. So many things that people have problems being patient with. And I think about even when we're driving in the car, and I think about you sometimes. Well, I, you know, we just got to be patient. You know, if we have to sit at a stoplight or we have to wait, you know, for a little while for traffic to move on, we just have to be patient. And God calls us to be patient, wait upon Him. It says to wait upon Him. And in due time, in due season, you know, things will come about.
That's right. You know, I was thinking here, too, thinking about this time with Ruth. If you read that book real close, it covers the whole time of this counting the Omer.
Right.
It starts at Passover, and you find out the conclusion of it. It comes around the time of Pentecost. So it's pretty powerful.
Ruth is a powerful
book. So anyway, Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. We know that. And he gave her conception, and she bare a son.
Wow.
And the woman, I'm in chapter...
The son has a special name, too.
I'm in chapter 4 of Ruth right now. And it's in verse 14 says, after or 13, says she she bare a son, talking about Ruth. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, and his mm-hmm. name may be famous in Israel. And so, thank God that Ruth married Boaz, amen, and she was a Gentile. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, who was the daughter-in-law now? Was Ruth, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than 7 sons, hath mm-hmm. borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. So they were looking at it like it came from Naomi, you know, because she was the mother-in-law. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. So they had a son. Then you go and look at the lineage of all
this.
It goes
right on down to the...
See,
look at the records that they keep.
That's right.
In the Bible. In the Bible, you can see the records. So you can follow it right on through, you know. Even if you go into the book of Matthew, you can see the same thing. You can see the record of Yeshua.
That's right. So we go down to
the genealogy.
Yeah, we could read all this, but I just want to go down to verse 20. It says, Amminadab begat Nashon, and Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz, and Boaz begat Obed. This is, you know, him and Ruth. And Obed begat who? Jesse. Who was Jesse? The father of David, right? And Jesse, what? Begat David. So see this, her lineage goes all the way down through David, which takes her through the lineage to who? To the Messiah.
You know, if you even go back, you get a clue in chapter 1. Of Ruth, uh-huh. where it talks about the husband and who he was. This is now, it came to pass, and this is verse 1:1. In the days when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land. So we're talking about a famine. That's right. I think about, you know, the
parts no harvest.
Around.
Yeah.
No harvest, right? Yeah. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah. Now that's a clue right there.
That's right.
So Bethlehem, Judah. So that shows that, you know, he was of Bethlehem, and he was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So he was of the tribe of Judah. He went to sojourn in a country of Moab. He left his own country.
Yeah.
And you know, so many people run away, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife and his 2 sons. Now, nothing good happened when he was in Moab.
Yeah, sure.
Except his 2 sons found a wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And except, you know, well, I guess the one son that Ruth.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good thing, because she's the one when it came back. But, you know, there he was from Bethlehem, and he was from the tribe of Judah. So it tells us right there who they were, mm-hmm. who he was. And so where did he come right back to? She had came right back to Bethlehem, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
In Judah. And so we know that Yeshua was born in, he was from the Bethlehem. The lambs are taken out of Bethlehem,
mm-hmm.
aren't they?
That's right.
He was born in Bethlehem. And so right there, that brings you back to the lineage of genealogy of Yeshua. If you look at the, you know, we have to look at the back. Like you always say, we have to know the beginning from the end.
That's right.
So we go back and we find out where somebody came from.
Sure.
We all came from families that came from somewhere. And most of us don't know more past our grandmother. You know, we don't know our great-grandparents maybe. But most of us don't know where our families came from. Were they in Europe? Were they in some of them in Germany? Were some of them in Switzerland? Were some of them in Israel?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know where our families are from. But so this keeps such a good record of him being a Bethlehem, Judah. It says Bethlehem, Judah, and it's interesting. It has both names there, both words there.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it really clear. And of course, and the name of the man was, how do you pronounce that? Elimelech. And the name of his wife was Naomi. And then they had the two sons.
That's right.
Interesting.
Now, if we go on over to this chapter 1 with in Ruth, the very last verse, which is chapter 1, verse 22, it says this. Now, Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest.
In the beginning of the barley harvest.
This little book covers from the barley harvest all the way to Pentecost, these 50 days. It's incredible.
And it also tells us in verse 7 that they returned to the land of Judah. Mm-hmm. And that's very key because we're talking about Judah. The land of Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And they returned at the time of the barley harvest. And where did you read that at? What verse?
Verse 23, wasn't it? Verse 23 or 22?
Well, 22.
Yeah, 22.
And they came to Bethlehem. Mm-hmm. So she returned to she knew where to go back. She went to the right place. She didn't wander off and go someplace else. You know, her husband took her someplace else, but she went back to where she knew that she had a home.
That's
you
right.
know, if we return to our roots, to the beginning, to I would call our Bible our roots. Wouldn't you call it
That's
our
right.
roots? If we return to our roots, and you're a book that you wrote, you're talking about knowing the feasts of the Lord, are knowing the I would say even call it the roots of what God had planned back in the very beginning, because
That's
God
right.
had God planned. God's the one who planned the harvest and the harvest of different things that would harvest at different times. They don't all harvest at the same time. It, you know, shows that I feel sometimes we mature at different times. You know, some things mature quickly and you can eat them, right?
That's right.
Some things take a while. Like if you're going to plant an apple tree, you're not going to eat apples that next year. No, but if you plant something that will, a tomato plant, you're going to have tomatoes.
That's right.
When it's time to come up. So some things harvest and come to maturity where there's fruit at different times. It takes longer for some things than it does others.
I was just thinking there while you were talking about this, I couldn't remember what the Hebrew name for Moab means. You know what it means? It means seed. Moab means seed. So think about it. Ruth came from where? From the Moabites, okay? And so her and Boaz, when they joined up with his seed, when they got married, they produced all those generations all the way down to the Messiah. Isn't that
wow.
correct? Yes. Yeah, that was interesting. But just the name seed for Moab, it's amazing. So this little book has a lot
and
in it.
And you know, seed is protected.
Yeah.
If we don't protect seed,
mm-hmm.
If we don't protect the Word of God, this Word is seed. If we don't protect our seed, like if you got a harvest and you're going to eat up all your seed, you won't have
yeah.
anything for the next harvest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we have to be a defender of this Word of God and the King James Bible, I believe, because it's those who are protecting the very seed. Because you know what happens to seed? People want to, and they do it. They want to make a GMO. Is that what they call
it? Yeah, GMOs. Yeah.
Right. Well, people do the same thing with the Word of God. They
yeah.
want to GMO it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
They want to make it to
genetically modified.
They want
right?
to make it so it's palatable to them.
Yeah.
But you know, because God's word isn't always palatable to
yeah.
to us, because when it will sting. You know, it's like tastes like honey when it gets in your belly. It's like it can be bitter, right? So, and that I think there's a reason for that, because God is trying to say, and if you get a little bit of a bellyache, you know, you start to feel like, you know, you're doing something wrong.
That's right.
You ate something wrong, you're doing something wrong, or you get a grieving, you know, like the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So when we grieve the Holy Spirit, I like to look at things in the natural and then also see it in the spiritual. So when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it's like getting a bellyache, you know, and God is trying to speak to us. And how does he speak to us? Through the Holy Ghost, through the Spirit of God, he speaks to us. And sometimes he will even cause things to manifest in our body. Well, I'm not saying sickness or anything like that, but an example. Sometimes you're praying for somebody, and say I go to church and I don't have any pains anywhere, okay? and I'm speaking the word or we're singing, and all of a sudden I get a pain somewhere, like same in my hip or my elbow or my back or anywhere. Yeah. And, you know, I didn't have that before. Why am I getting this now? Well, it could be that God is trying to let me know that there's somebody who has a pain there that we need to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that God will also do things like that too. But you have to be sensitive. You know, that's being sensitive to the Spirit of God. But think about the seed. You know, the God's word, his seed is holy. And he everything that he's brought forth by the way of his seed is holy. And
that's
he
right.
has a plan. And his plan and his purposes will follow the truth. And so when we go and we you call it twisting the word of God.
So, yeah.
Or we compromise the word of God. What we're
it's
doing
iniquity,
is
yeah.
what we're doing is we're destroying the seed.
That's it.
We're trying to add something to the seed
or take something away
right. from the seed, which is going to maybe the seed will look the same. Well, this book looks the same until I open it up and I start reading some
yeah.
of the pages. And I know you have a lot of Bibles in your bookcase because you do reference in the King James compared to other ones. And then it's different inside. But you have to discern, because just one word can change the meaning of something.
That's right.
Like we talked about the word ye.
Yeah.
The word ye, and people think, well,
why
don't they take
you.
That Bible, that word out of the King James Bible? It's just an old word. Why do we need that old word, right? Well, in the King James Bible, it means something. When you say the word ye, you're not saying you. You're saying you all.
You all.
See, that King James is even Southern, right?
Yeah.
So when you say ye, you read ye in the Bible, it means everyone, you all. And of course, you've used many scriptures to show that, to prove that. One of them, I think, is in John, you really like to use.
John chapter 3.
But then when you say the word you, it's a personal word. Personal, it's individual.
For individual, yeah.
But ye, and many times
you must be born again.
That's a good example. Many times it's right in the very same verse where they're going to use both words two or three times.
Right.
And so, you know, but you have to look close, because if you don't look close with the magnifying glass, like you'll just read over it. You know, your eyes will just read over it, and you won't get the deeper meaning of it, or the sowed that you call a sowed, the mystery of just even the word ye, because there's a mystery in that. And it doesn't take, once you know it, then you recognize it and you start reading it, and you pick up on it, you know, you start to realize it. But until you see it and you understand it, you kind of look over it.
That's right. It's real easy to do that, just skim over things, yeah. So I'm back to Leviticus chapter 23 now about
this. You're through with Ruth?
Well, there's a lot in it, because she was there during this time of Pentecost, showing her how she got a deliverance from all this, you know, when she married Boaz and what happened with all that. So God had a purpose for it. But, you know, you think about this in Leviticus 23, you know, from the time that Israel left Egypt over there in Exodus chapter 12, and they merely left on Nisan 17. Well, they traveled out to the Red Sea. We talked about that last week and the week before. And Then they moved out to where God wanted them to go. They picked up and moved several times. And after 47 days, they came to the foot of Mount Sinai, and that's where God had them to stay for a little bit. And they had to set themselves apart for 3 days. And then God came down and spoke from Mount Sinai. And what an incredible picture we have right there of all this. And so this was for them to realize that God had them in his hands all the time. He was protecting them. You know, they got to the Red Sea, didn't think how we were going to get through there, but God opened it up, didn't he? And they got through. So then they came out to that time, and then God spoke from Mount Sinai. I mean, it's amazing. And so this is when he gave Moses all the Ten Commandments and all that. And he came down, and of course the people, while he was up there for 40 days, they got into sin and had their big party, made a golden calf. And so Moses got upset when he came down. He threw the tablets down and had to go back up there and spend another 40 days with the Lord, and because of their disobedience. But we see how this all was brought to a place to show us that, you know, let's go do that real quick. I'm going to go over to Exodus chapter 19 with you for a moment. Let's just read this. This is incredible when we see what God did, showing us a pattern of what God was going to do in the future with Israel. And also for the church, because, you know, if you go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, it basically reads this. and as the day of Pentecost was being fulfilled. So on the exact same day that God spoke from Mount Sinai, okay? This just blows me away. He chose that day to bring the fulfillment of what his son came to the earth to do, which was what? To bring people to him and to be in the kingdom of God, to be filled with the Holy Ghost and do the work of the Lord. In Exodus 19, verse 1, it says, in the third month, this is the month of Sivan on the Jewish calendar, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day, so it was on the third month, the third day, came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And so then he told them to set their wives apart. Verse 10 in this chapter said, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. The third day. Hallelujah. So he's preparing them for something. And this is all during this time where they were to be counting the Omer as well. So this is very important, these 50 days we talk about. And verse 11 is amazing to me. And he be ready against the third day. Think about this. Yeshua came to this earth, born of a woman, started his ministry at 30 years of age, and then he died. And we look at the time frame. And so from the time that Yeshua came, there's going to be a period, prophetically, of exactly 3,000 years. From the time that he came, he died, went back to be with his father, there's going to be a period of 2,000 years. And then when that 2,000-year period comes to a conclusion, then the third one, which would be the seventh millennium, if we look at the Bible correctly, and then we see that the kingdom will be established at that time. So right here, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And remember, Yeshua came out of the grave on the third day as well, didn't he? So we have all these patterns with us to show us about how important this time is. And so God chose this exact same day in Acts chapter 2 to bring the fulfillment of the Holy Ghost. And then we go down to verse 14 in chapter 19. It says, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready again, he told them, against the third day, come not at your wife. You're not to have any physical relationships with your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning. Here we talked about the morning watch last week when they crossed through the Red Sea. In the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud. This is on the 50th day. So that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mountain. They were at the foot of the mountain. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mountain, what? Quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded loud, who do you think that voice was? It has to be God, huh? And waxed louder and louder. Moses spake and answered God him by voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. So we have an amazing thing. This is all on the third day. This third day. When they got to the foot of the mountain, what was it? 47 days. And they were looking for the last 3 days. So let's make a comparison now we're talking about this. Let's go over to Acts chapter 2, sweetie. Let's go to Acts chapter 2 and see what this has to say. Real quick here, we got a few more minutes to talk about this. See, these are all patterns showing us what God was going to do. He was going to empower them back at that particular time. But they didn't follow God's instructions, so what happened? They lost whatever empowerment they had because they rebelled and they were in sin. And so they paid the consequences, didn't they? They sure did. Chapter 2 of Acts, Now this is going to be, it says this in verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, you can really translate this, when the day of Pentecost was being fully fulfilled, they were all with one accord in one place. Weren't they at Mount Sinai the same way? They were all there waiting when God spoke. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them a cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled. See what it says? All were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this was the fulfillment of this time called, what, of counting the Omer, and this time coming out to Pentecost. So it's amazing when we think about how God put this in place. So he took you and showed you all this over in the first covenant, how it was all going to be manifested. Now we know there's an event that happened there with the two loaves and all that, and with representing the Jew and the Gentile and all that. But here now we see the fulfillment of it. Amen. And then you go down through this list, and God mentions a bunch of countries that were there. Remember, all the Jews had to be at those three appointed times we talked about. There were harvest festivals, Passover, Pentecost, and what? Tabernacles. So the men, some of these men traveled for days, weeks to get to Jerusalem for this particular time. So God mentions a few of these nations. Well, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, a lot of people don't know this. This is in Jewish tradition and history. They believe there were 70 nations on the earth at that time. And when God's voice reverberated through the land, he went to all those nations and gave them an opportunity to come and do exactly what he was offering the Jews as well. And so his voice went through the camp. The only group that said, I do, I will, was what? The Jewish people, the Hebrews. Well, so they had a chance, but they turned it down. So here we see again that God, in Acts chapter 2, picked a huge number of people, and he was going to show the world, and to you and I, and anyone that would read this, a lot of these countries were mentioned, were a lot of Gentile countries. They weren't part of Israel. Look at all the names you can see if you read this, you know. And it says in verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his what? His own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how we hear, we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. So there was Parthians there. They weren't Jewish. Yeah. The Medes, the Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt. See, these are all new non-Jewish nations. So God wants the Jew and the Gentile to come. That's how he's joined this all together. And in the parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and the strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, those that had converted to Judaism, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So that was what it was all for at that time, the wonderful works of God, those ethnic languages that they didn't know, but yet they spoke in it. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, some saying one to another, what do you mean to this? Others mocking and said, these men are full of new wine. Amen? And then Peter stood up and began to preach. They're not drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. This is when this happened. No, they were filled with the Spirit of God. Verse 15 says, for these are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour, which is 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So God used that time out there with Mount Sinai to give us a pattern on a third day when all this was going to happen.
Uh-huh. Amen.
So it's incredible when you think about it. So it was all here for a purpose. And so, of course, unleavened bread came during that time too, which is telling the people, hey, you need to clear out all the leaven in your life, remove all the sin that you know of, and walk as holy as you can with the Lord. And so that was all during that time as well. And also during this time, right after Jesus, this all started right after Yeshua's resurrection, honey.
That's right.
Right after his resurrection. And so awesome. That's when the counting and the Omer came. And so they counted 7 weeks or 49 days, and then they added one day, which was 50, which was what? Pentecost. Cradle. Amen.
It's awesome.
Amen.
So they continued to harvest until the very end.
Until the very end.
You know, and even if you go back to the Ruth, you know, yeah. It talks about the barley harvest, you know, up until the time of the wheat harvest, and so she was out there harvesting that barley all that time.
For 50 days.
All that time.
Yeah.
And
this was the early wheat harvest that it finally came to. Yeah.
Well, when you get near the 50th day, you're coming to the end of the wheat, the barley harvest. And, you know, then, of course, the wheat harvest begins.
And they were looking for it to be ripe, to pull that sheaf out, to come and wave it before the priest.
So one harvest ends, and then another harvest begins. It's just like the feasts of the Lord.
One follows the other.
Follows the other.
The first one's a Passover. 50 days later, you have another one. Then you go out 6 months. You come to what?
You come to the fall.
To the fall. You come to Tabernacles. That's when they have the next harvest festival. So you have one at Passover, 50 days later at Pentecost, and then you have the one in the fall. And the fall is a huge harvest when they bring in all the grapes, the figs, everything.
That's right.
And the heavy wheat harvest.
That's a heavy wheat harvest at the end. That's right. And that's all a picture of prophecy, isn't it?
It sure is.
Of the coming of the Lord and the people coming into the kingdom.
That's right.
God wants to gather. He's a gatherer, you know. It's interesting too, you know, when you go back to Ruth and Naomi, you know, she was out there, and when she would at the very end, we don't have time to go into it too much today, but her mother-in-law gave her directions,
That's
gave
right.
her instructions on
real,
what
real
to do,
detail,
exactly
yeah.
what to do.
That's right.
And because and she told her, you know, take a bath, anoint yourself. And she put on clean clothes. I'm just going to paraphrase it. And she was to go down to the where they were. What do you call it? With the harvest, gleaning.
Gleaning the harvest. Yeah.
I think it's called that. But anyways, and so you know, and she said after Boaz has had something to eat and drink, and they go to sleep. You know, lay down on his feet and cover his feet.
That's right.
And you know, he wakes up and he's afraid at. Around midnight.
So who is that down there?
Not knowing, because their women weren't supposed to be doing this, you know. And she told him who she was, and she asked him to basically be his wife, you know. Well, he actually told her that, you know, he would do that, and he told him, and she took off her scarf or her veil, and he gave her, I think, 6 measures of barley. That's a lot.
Yeah.
a lot. And she took that back to her mother-in-law, you know,
yeah.
But that's 6 is the number of man,
mm-hmm.
And he gave her a lot. So I'm thinking about the end times. You know, there's going to be a lot come in to the kingdom of God, and in the very last days, I believe there's going to be a lot of people come into the kingdom of God. So, and it says here in verse chapter 2, verse 23, the last verse. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz and to glean until the end of the barley harvest and
right.
of the wheat harvest,
mm-hmm.
and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So it took all this time.
50 days.
She was doing this, and it says, and the wheat harvest. So it took all this time that she was just patiently gleaning in the field.
That's
patiently
right.
gleaning in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one night, she was time for her to go down and to speak to him and lay down by his feet. And he said that he would take her in.
That's right.
That he would take her in. But first he had to deal with another man, because another man had was a little bit closer relative.
A little closer relative,
a little
yeah.
closer relative. But, you know, he kept it in his heart to do that, and he took care of that right away. He took care of it right away.
The close relative refused to take her, his wife. So
mm-hmm.
So Boaz was next in line, wasn't he?
That's right.
And he was a kinsman redeemer.
That's right. And, you know, he wasn't young either. She was young, but he wasn't young.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it even tells you, it gives you this idea that he wasn't young. In verse 10, it says, and he says, blessed be thou, Lord, the daughter of my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning,
yeah.
insomuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, for I will do to thee all that thou request. Think of Esther, don't you?
Yeah.
She gave the request, and what did she do? She said did exactly what her
mother-in-law
said.
Naomi
said.
That's right.
Said,
exactly.
Just
yeah.
like Esther did exactly
right.
what Mordecai said.
Yeah.
So when you follow the word, and see, the word had to come to Naomi, because even earlier in there, it gives an indication that Naomi was not going to rest. And I think about that she was going to continue to pray. She wasn't going to rest until the answer came.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where it's at, but I know the word in there is something about she wasn't going to rest. Here it is. It's in verse chapter 3. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee? She was going to seek the rest, you know, to pray. I think she's just means
mm-hmm.
that she's going to press in and pray that it may be well with thee. And now, is Boaz of our kinsmen, and with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he willoweth barley tonight. That's what, there's the word, willoweth. He was willowing barley tonight
uh-huh.
in the threshing floor. So she gives her instructions about what to do, to go down to the threshing floor and to lay down there next to under his feet,
mm-hmm.
or by his feet. So he says to her, he says, you're a virtuous woman, in verse 11, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. So he promises to take care of this situation that day. That
mm-hmm.
day. So here she's patient all this time, and then all of a sudden, that day, he's going to find out, he's going to take care of it, and he said he would take her in. And of course, then it says here, I like what it says in verse 15, it says, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee, and
yeah.
hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley. So we're at the end of the barley harvest.
That's
here.
Right.
And he laid it on her, and she went into the city because they were willowing. So that shows us that, you know, they were coming near the end of the barley harvest. And when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, "Who art thou, my daughter?" And she told her all that the man had done to her. And she said, "These 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, 'Go not empty into thy mother-in-law.'" He was showing the mother-in-law, you know, your patience, the fruit that you brought back.
That's right.
You know, she's good fruit.
She sure
this
is.
This woman is good fruit.
That's right.
She's good fruit for the kingdom.
Amen.
That you brought back. And so he was blessing her with these 6 measures. And, of course, I believe that 6 measures has a prophetic sign to us, too, for the end time.
That's right. And we go over to conclude this, we go over to Ruth chapter 4. And they were at the gate, and this decision was made. And so, of course, Boaz took her to be wife. One thing that caught my eye was that Ruth, the Moabitess, she purchased, to be my, talking about this, Ruth being, you know, purchased by Boaz, and I like what she said, to raise up the name of the dead upon this inheritance.
Awesome.
So he's telling about the man that died. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into verse 11, and the people that were in the gate and the elders said, "We are witnesses. The Lord make the woman that has come into thine house like Rachel and like Leah." Wow, what a prophetic word, which two did build the house of Israel.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Pastor.
And do thou worthily in Ephratah, and be famous in Bethlehem, and let thine house be like the house of Perez, whom Tamar bare unto Judah, mm-hmm. of the seed which the Lord shall give thee of this young woman. And so then we know Boaz took Ruth, she had her son Obed, and it just went on from there, didn't it?
Amen.
It's incredible.
Amen. There's more we could talk about Ruth, maybe we can cover a little more next week, because it's an important book.
Price,
only four chapters,
yeah.
And Pastor Gene, our hour has run out.
Yeah.
So
I used to think this, honey, when I first read this, I thought it was just about the barley harvest. But if you look at it real close, it covers it all.
It does. It covers it all. So we can get into that more deeply.
Yeah, maybe
next
week. We'll see.
So this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this broadcast, WCNO. We're also on the internet, WCNO.com. You can go back and listen to this, what we just spoke about. If you'd like to, just go on Saturday and look for the podcast at Raising the Standard at 12 noon with Gene and Donna Hilton. We have services here in Stuart, Florida. We have tomorrow, Sunday, we'll have 10 o'clock with service here at 10 o'clock, and we meet in the right on Cantor Highway in the Monterey Plaza. So our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So we're about ready to close this program. I'm just reminded here while you're speaking, honey, about Ruth's name means something to be desired.
Amen.
She was. So as we close this program, we tell you to look up, because your redemption draws an eye. I'll get it in a minute. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.